This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. You may have seen our Next Guest TV show where he rescues unwanted or out-of-control dogs from animal shelters and brings them to his training facility to transform them into perfect pets.
Brandon McMillan joins us now. He's a celebrity animal trainer, star of the TV show Lucky Dog, and author of the book Lucky Dog Lessons, Train Your Dog in 7 Days. Brandon, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into dogs in particular, Brandon, you've worked with animals from cockroaches to tigers and everywhere in between. How did you get into this line of work?
Yeah, my entire family were all wild animal trainers in the entertainment industry. So when I was born, basically, I had big animals surrounding my, my entire house. So it's funny you bring up the cockroach thing because that was one of my one of my first jobs when I moved to Hollywood. It was a Nine Inch Nails video, and we had these Madagascar hissing cockroaches. They're about the size of your hand, and when you press on the back, they literally stand up like in the the 30 style boxing position.
I'm a Nine Inch Nails fan. Which video was that, so I could go back and watch your cockroaches in action?
It was called Closer.
Closer. Okay, right. I remember that one.
Yeah, well, very famous video.
I would talk to you more about that, but let's get into dogs now. That's what you've got this new book out about. And one lesson you kind of hit early on is there's not really a one-size-fits-all approach. We need to focus, when we're starting to train a dog, on a lot of specific things, breed, age, things like that. Can you talk about that a little?
Exactly. You know, there might be books out there that cover this, but I really, I haven't found them. I think a big point that needs to be made about dog training is the variables of the breeds out there, the variables of the age, the history of that particular dog. This all plays vital roles in the personality. And once we factor all these things, it's like a formula, it's like an equation. We sort of solve the equation. We say, okay, well, I have a German Shepherd. We know they're a herding breed. They have more high energy. They're built for work. I know the history of this dog. It was in the backyard. It was maybe abused. I know it's a little bit older, so he doesn't learn as fast. He can still learn. And so we take all these factors into play, and then this is how we begin a game plan. Without a game plan, you really can't train an animal. That's where I think a lot of people fall on their face with animal training, is they don't have a game plan. They all approach it the same way. They're like, oh, I got a dog. I'm going to teach it to lie down. Well, let's form a game plan, because there are no dogs in the world that are a fluke. They were all bred. They were all designed for something before we had technology,
And I wonder if a lot of people come in without a game plan at all. They wait until, they just go along and wait until, oh, the dog's barking too much or there's an aggression problem. They wait until there's a problem before they start training. Should that be a job one before we even get the dog, that we're thinking about a training plan?
Oh, absolutely. I say small problems turn into big problems, and that's exactly what happens. That's why I'm in business, by the way. Mm-hmm. Because people they let that small problem turn into a big problem. The easy example I can give you, you have a puppy, 8 weeks, 10 weeks old. It's very mouthy. It's mouthing you on the arm. It's so cute. It jumps up all over you. It's so cute because it's an 8-week-old puppy. But they don't solve those problems. The next thing you know, the dog's a year and a half. Now it's mouthy behavior. It's starting to turn into, like, not aggressive biting, but it's starting to leave marks on the skin. And that jumping behavior that was never solved, it's knocking people over. So it's true. They don't actually call the dog trainer until the problem gets worse. They don't call the dog trainer until actually something happens that knocks somebody over, and now they're, they potentially have a dog that is considered dangerous, even though it might not be. So that's what a lot of the book covers. The book does cover these basic problems, and I really try to stress to people, you got to solve these problems as you see them. It's like, you can't let that sound in your car go too long, because if you hear that noise clicking in your engine, when you first hear it, it's only a $200 fix. But if you let it go for a couple of years, now it's a $3,000 fix.
You talk about, after we've got this game plan, a lot of times you want people to start with the 7 common commands, and these are your sit and stay and that kind of thing. Why is it important for pretty much any dog to have these 7 common commands in the works?
I kind of coined that phrase years ago, because what I did was I basically thought about what are the most common commands that we ask our dog to do every single day. And I basically rated it down to 7. I narrowed it down to these 7 commands: sit, stay, down, come, off, heel, and no. And the rest, anything else, it's either tricks, and I always say tricks are for kids, or it's commands that actually sound the it actually have the same meaning, like stay and wait. It's technically the same command. So I say, you know what, we're going to get rid of one of those. Same with no and leave it. A lot of people teach their dog these two commands. I'm like, no, listen, less is more in the dog training world. You want these seven commands because it's basically the ABCs and 1-2-3s of dog training. It's like grades kindergarten through 12 for your dog. And once dogs have basic obedience, you can teach them anything at that point.
And one point you make in giving these commands is that ultimately they are supposed to be commands, not polite requests or questions.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, listen, we're parents to our dogs, and just like parents to kids, you're not asking your kid to do the homework. It is mandatory when you have a kid, you must do your homework, you must do your chores, you must go to school, you must stay out of trouble. These are not requests. There is no negotiating these things. So whenever we tell our dogs to do a command, we are going to tell them to do the command. We're not asking them. And again, you know, you have to have, I always say it's the mafia voice. You don't want to yell at your dog. You don't want to yell at your dog, okay, because that's what shuts them down. How does the mafia talk to somebody there, you know, they're trying to, in a movie, we see they have this very convincing way of talking. And that's what I always say to keep in mind. I said you don't want to use the volume of your voice. You want to use the conviction of your voice.
We're talking to Brandon McMillan. His new book is Lucky Dog Lessons. And it isn't just training and the firm voice. You talk a lot about quality time with your dog, fun time with your dog. You are in charge. You're their parent. But you also want a friendly relationship. What are things that people should be doing right up front with their dog?
Well, of course. I mean, the basic necessities of your dog does form the relationship. So just walking your dog, spending a lot of time with your dog, playing with your dog, whether it's toys or... I mean, a lot of dogs, they love, you know, chasing and fetch and stuff like that. So these are the basic necessities that a dog needs. And that, you know, it kills two birds with one stone. You give the dog what it needs, and you form a relationship. Because the reality is the best way to train a dog and the way the dog is going to learn the most efficiently is with someone it trusts. If dogs don't trust you, if they're intimidated by you or scared of you, they're not going to learn efficiently. The best teachers in school that I learned from, I liked them a lot. I liked them. I trusted them. They talked to me in a way that I wanted to learn more, you know, and that was a relationship because the teacher took the time to form the relationship with the students. And it's so vital to training any dog, whether you're a dog trainer or just your regular dog owner. Forming that relationship with a dog is so vital because you'll see it's all about efficiency when you train. Now, if you're just trying to intimidate the dog, you know, you will do this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The dog, you're not forming that relationship. It's all about forming the trust, and that way the dog is like, okay, yesterday was fun. What are we going to do today?
And I want to talk about rescue dogs in particular. I know that's a particular interest of yours, and you think with the right training, there is a potential happy ending for all rescue dogs. Can you talk to maybe people out there who have just adopted a rescue dog or are about to, some advice for them?
Well, when I was in my early 20s, I started reading about the statistics about how many dogs are euthanized in America alone just because they can't find homes. And the number hovers around 1.5 million, give or take. And that's an epidemic. And so that's where I really started pounding the pavement to see what I can do. And there's been a big stigma on shelter dogs now since probably the 1950s, who knows, probably before that. And the stigma was always the same. Oh, they were turned into the shelter for a reason. Oh, they're damaged goods. I have found time and again that shelter dogs are just as trainable, if not more trainable, than breeder bought. We have to make slight adjustments because of their history. And again, you can't fault them because they had a bad first chance. It's our goal to give them a good second chance.
Right. So what kind of things can we do when we bring home that rescue dog to give them that second chance and succeed for the pet owner and the dog itself?
Start forming that relationship right away. Teach them right away that you're not the bad guy. Most likely, a lot of shelter dogs I find, because of their history, they don't trust humans. So your first goal is to form that trust, form that bond. And like I was saying a few minutes ago, once you form that trust, once that bond is solidified, it's amazing how efficiently you can train the dog. The dog wants to learn, as opposed to if you don't form that trust first, then, again, the dog is still very reluctant to learn because it doesn't know if you're the good guy or the bad guy. So always, like I said, and this is exactly what I cover in the book, we talk about, you know, not only breed, we talk about history. And that history is vital. If you can find out what happened to the dog, even better, because now you know, now you can form the game plan. And this, and like I said a few minutes ago, it was that it's all about forming the game plan. If you know exactly what happened with that dog, now we can efficiently train the dog because now we have a game plan ahead. We're not going to train this way because the dog was abused. We're not going to try to use a lot of force in the training because that dog was forced to do too much in the past. So we almost go polar opposite of what the dog knows.
You mentioned that stigma, almost bias against sheltered dogs in the past. Do you you talk to a lot of people in the dog world? Obviously, do you see that changing? Are we opening our hearts and minds to bringing these shelter dogs home more than we used to?
Yeah, we are. I see a huge change, but the only issue is I don't see a change in the numbers. The number still hovers around around 1.5 mil. That number really hasn't changed too much over the years. But yeah, the stigma against shelter dogs. People are opening up, but obviously the numbers don't lie. The numbers really have not changed, and that's the reality. So it makes you wonder, you know, where we're going wrong. When people understand the numbers, when people understand the actual statistics, where it's about 1.5 million dogs are euthanized in America alone because they can't find homes, you know, I challenge people. I say, watch this. Go down to a shelter. Go spend some time with those dogs. You're going to see they're no different than a breeder-bought dog. In many cases, they're a lot better because, again, what I notice time and again is you have these, you have a lot of these shelter dogs, whether they were strays or whether they were just in a backyard and very neglected. They're so appreciative when they get rescued because they know the difference between the good guy and the bad guy.
We'll leave it there, Brandon. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Brandon McMillan is an animal trainer, star of the TV show Lucky Dog. His new book is Lucky Dog Lessons: Train Your Dog in 7 Days.